Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 2.5 hours to spend together, and we're going to be joined by Steve Bryant. Now, normally, we talk to Steve every year on New Year's night. It's just so appropriate because for 15 years, he was the lead singer on QVC, so he's seen it all, done it all. However, we weren't on the air Christmas night or Christmas Eve because that fell on the weekend this year. Likewise, this is the last show of the year because Saturday and Sunday, well, we're not going to be on. So this is it. So it's kind of a combo show. You, me, Steve, and you know your calls, commenting on whatever we're talking about or whatever you'd like to bring up. You know, it's sort of fitting last night when somebody had asked me what was the weirdest Christmas gift I ever got, and I couldn't answer. Yeah, it was just terrible. And right. In fact, I couldn't remember any in general, which is probably a good sign because that means none of them were, really damaging to my psyche in any way. But I thought if anybody knows about the weirdest Christmas gifts, and you know we'll talk about the pooping moose because, of course, you're aware of that, but not exactly Steve's take if you haven't heard previous shows. But I'm sure that's not all. So without further ado, we welcome Steve Bryant to WGN Radio. And let's see if I can get my magic twanger here and say, hey, Steve, how are you?
Raleigh, I am well. How about you and John?
Well, we can't complain. Nobody would listen if we do, so.
Now, I know that feeling.
Oh, I'll bet you do. Man, oh, man. you know, we've talked so often about your 15 years of horror, of entertainment on QVC, but let me ask you, were you part of the original crew there?
Yes, okay. Yes. Well, interestingly enough, I was... Because at the time, I looked, go figure this, I looked like a college professor, according to them. And they said, so the original hosts were a team that they put these guys through the tortures of the damned. They had to do these sales classes, and they had to do elocution classes and grammar classes and the whole thing. And I missed all that. You know, I thought that was great. They said, well, and eventually a couple of the hosts that they had hired washed out for some reason. I don't know.
Maybe they ran in horror.
I said, that's true. I think that thing where they put them out on the beach naked for 2 days, like the seals, I think that's when they cracked. So they said, well, let's get the guy who looks like a college professor. So I came in right after, like I was there from the beginning, but a week after the beginning, and I missed the 4 weeks of absolute torture that these four people had to go through.
What management giant suggested that would be a good idea?
Oh, I can't speak ill of the dead. I get in trouble.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was an interesting group that put the thing together. HSN beat QVC by a couple of years.
Right.
But QVC, and I'm not saying it because I was there, QVC did it right. HSN was loud and braggadocious and honky horns, which was a genius thing to do. But, you know, we were the straight-laced shopping channel, except for me. I stood out just a little bit. They thought they would build teamwork, and I think somebody had heard about, you know, the probably the greatest fighting team on the face of the planet are the Navy SEALs, and they put those guys through the tortures of the damned.
No.
And the guys who make it, men and women who make it, get to be Navy SEALs, and proud of it they should be. I think somebody heard about that.
No.
And they said, you know, it builds teamwork. Absolutely, it builds teamwork. But you're not out killing enemies. You're selling cubic zirconia. There's a slight difference there.
Oh, man. You know, it's so funny you're saying this, because years ago, in one of his misguided moments, Gordon McClendon, more than anything because he wanted to make his son Bart a man, created the Magnificent Seven. And you don't even want to know what he put those people through. His son washed out.
Oh, geez.
And yeah, exactly. So when you were saying this, I'm like, oh, my God, it's been done before. This is horrifying. Now, obviously, here's QVC, and they know HSN has a few years on them, which, of course, started as a radio format in Tampa, never mind. But here they are. And QVC says, we're going to be better. And, of course, you were better. You were entertaining. You're telling me that they didn't, from the beginning, realize that entertainment was going to be the hot ticket?
Well, they thought more in carnival terms, more in the boardwalk county fair pitchman terms. You know, the people who would sell the miracle knives and the things that McMahon used to.
She's live, she's live, she's live. 10 cents, $0.001. Step right up, folks.
you got it. That's exactly it. And HSN thought, well, this will work on television. This will work on television. And I believe, if I have my history right, there was a show. This was taped.
Yeah.
It was a taped auction show with a guy from Australia, and the auction took place somewhere on the West Coast. And they would auction off items, and they did it by bid. You know, my bid $30, $30, $30, $40, $40, $40, and he would say, every hand that goes up, every call that comes in, gets this for $35. Call right now, you know. And that show was a tremendous success because it had never been done before.
Oh, my God.
It was new. It was innovative on television. People said, wow, this is something. I could actually order this crap that I'll never use on television.
Right.
Because it was pretty dreadful stuff they sold, but still, they sold it. And HSN, I think, might have taken a page from that and said, you know, every hand that comes in, every call that goes, every call that comes in, every hand that goes up. And they did odd things in the beginning. I know they had Bob Denver sitting on the set once, and he just was sitting on the set. And they would occasionally cut to him and say, hey, Bob Denver's here. It was like, okay, hey, it's a paycheck. Okay. Look, if somebody wants to pay me to sit on the set, you know, I'm sitting there, I'll pay my bills, whatever. I'll sit there, I'll play on the internet.
With that logic, I don't know why they just didn't do film clips of everybody. Hey, Bob Cummings here, you know, and just show something
exactly.
From Love That Bob. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Well, exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly. Well, then they found out, HSN found out, if they put an American flag on the set, their sales went up by over 10%.
No.
Absolutely.
That's hilarious. Now, were they national at that point? I mean, they're more than just Tampa Bay?
They were starting to spread out at that point. I don't know that they were national. They were, you know, picking up syndications, and I believe they came up with the formula where if you owned a cable TV station, cable TV network in your area,
they'd pay you.
Back then, you know,
right.
There were zillions.
They'd pay you for the sales, yeah.
They'd give you 3% of everything sold in your zip code.
Yeah. No, exactly. That was real big. And that's really kind of CATV just as it's coming into cable. Yes, I remember it well.
Exactly. So they did that. And like I said, QVC came in, and it was, you know, founded by the folks that had done the Franklin Mint.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some great, you know, some great ideas. They brought in a lot of people from old school television. We had a guy guiding us for a while who had been involved in producing What's My Line and I've Got a Secret, which, hey, iconic, wonderful shows. I think by the time the late 80s rolled around, they might have been a little passé, but okay.
But they were Mark Goodson, Bill Todman approved.
Absolutely. So it was pretty fun. I mean, a lot of the stuff in the early days of QVC, a lot of the stuff was just hysterical. You wouldn't believe the things they would have us do. Like, they went into an air for a while. Our sales were down, so they said, we've got to do hard sell, just like HSN.
Oh, no.
So now we're like, hey, come on in. Hey, I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. Look at this. It's a piece of crap, but you know you're going to buy it. You're going to love it. And then they suddenly realized that kind of didn't work. So then they said, no, just go back to normal now. Just go back to normal. And, you know, just do what you do and everything. And then they would, it was funny. We never had guests on the air. For the longest time, they didn't have guests. And the first guest was a lady who knew the founder. Somehow her mother might have known the founder or something. And she had a thing called Walk Aerobics.
Uh-huh.
An exercise program. Yeah. Leslie Sansone. Wonderful lady. A lot of fun. And look, any movement, you know this as well as I, any movement is good movement. And this got people who might have been sitting on their butts for years to walk. You know, this is actually even before Jane Fonda.
Oh, no, I know.
Oh, no, I guess it was
no.
No, actually, this was after. This had to be after Jane Fonda. So Walk Aerobics was a series of audio cassettes. And yeah. you would walk, and then she had video cassettes where she did, like, Walk Aerobics moves that you could do in your home.
Yeah.
And then some genius, some absolute marketing whiz, a god, said, let's do a video with the hosts. Raleigh, I am as coordinated as an octopus.
You and me both. Oh, man.
Oh, God. I had to go out. I had to buy a really, this is the late 80s. I had to go out and buy a really nice Nike jogging suit, you know, red. So I looked like a real dweeb. And we all showed up in our own, you know, nobody coordinated this.
Of course.
So everybody had, some guy had Paisley, some guy, you know, so we're all there with Leslie Sansone, this wonderful woman with a really good idea. And we do this stupid thing where we're trying to move in unison. And it looked like
a demented line, you know, dance. It was a Jerry Blavitt appearance gone bad.
It was Urban Cowboy.
Yeah.
just from hell. It was.
It wasn't the Wagner Walk. Yeah. No.
It was not.
Her videos are on on YouTube now continually. You can see them all.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
It's frightening as hell. I think she started it in the basement of a church.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yes.
And she was, look, she, I think she did very, very well. And like I said, any movement is good movement. And it was based, and she worked with doctors and in conjunction with people to say, well, how do we do this? And of course, all the warnings, please
right.
check with your doctor. Please don't die when you do this.
Yeah.
You know. So that was our first guest. And then they every once in a while, a guest would show up, based on their product. One time we were big into collectibles. That was back before before two or three recessions ago. You and I agree on that.
Yes.
Two or three recessions ago, collectibles went away, but before they went away, they were big. They were huge on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And we had these German collectibles, because Hummels had done so well. And the Hummels had done so well from a company that I think used to make bomb casing.
Something like that, yes.
So not quite sure. But so Hummels had done well. So this they got this German collectible line. They were little figurines you had little Adolf, little Goebbels. I don't know what they were.
It's funny you say that, because when you look at this, and it was introduced to the German public in the 30s, you can see them where they're doing the Sieg Heil, and you're saying, who the hell is collecting this? But you're absolutely right. Now, hang on a minute. Don't go away. And we're also going to talk to Mary. I usually save the pooping a moose for much later in the show, but Mary wants to buy one. Now, I don't know if she's aware of your take on it, but we'll find out about Mary, too. So all that and more coming up with Steve Bryan and you, hopefully, tonight right here on WGN Radio.
All my bags are lost, my plane's on the ground. Not a single flight to be found. The airport floor is cold, dirty as well. Several thousand are stranded with me. The restroom's flooded and I gotta pee. I need a shower, cause I really smell. It's been 3 days. Southwest Air can kiss my ass. The cancellations got old fast. Never get anywhere on time. I'm not leaving on a jet plane. I'll never fly on Southwest Air again. Next time I'll drive myself. The government says they'll investigate. Well, I think it might be a bit too late. By the time they finish, we'll all starve to death. The airline executives say don't frown. It'll all be over when the snow melts down. I wish to hell they'd just save their breath. So Southwest Air can kiss my ass. The cancellations got old fast. They never get anywhere on time.
WGN Radio. Yes, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Steve Bryant, who has never going to let a good news story go to waste. And a fine parody it was. And actually, as I was listening, I was typing, because I got to get your YouTube links up there so everybody can, in fact, hear your mirth. And it's just wonderful stuff. You know, I was going to play it, as it were, without any of the bleeping, and John came in here and said, not on WGN, you're not.
Good point.
Yeah, he said, you can't believe. So I thought, yeah, I guess venue is really everything. Now, before we do anything else, Mary says she's willing to pay anything for a pooping moose. So Mary, come join us on WGN Radio.
Well, that was my start, and then renegotiate from there.
Oh, I see.
But hello. Here we go. But I have a better chance of winning the Powerball, I have a feeling, than getting a pooping moose, because I have dug deep. And get this, they all have it, but they're like, not available. And this
really?
Has been for a few years. And then I realized, well, I'll do it way before Christmas. Maybe it'll be available. I'm waiting too long, but not available.
No, I'm seeing.
What do you think?
Well, you know, this is interesting. I'm going to, as we speak, I'm going to Amazon, of course, which you've done a million times. And the first thing I see is the pooping elf is available. But there's something that's not particularly charming when the elf is sitting on a toilet. All right, so.
Well, nothing's worse than when your guests here put the finger up under the hot lights.
Nothing will tap yet. Right.
What I'm coming from is I have a friend that, since we've been 5 years old, we've been friends and we're old bags now. So we still think of ourselves as kids, and this would be perfect. What do you think?
So, Steve, I'm noticing this too. Did the original poop and moose, which I think was actually Alaskan, has this gone away?
It probably has for the moment. The company that made it, it's a great success story. It was a bunch of craftspeople, woodworkers in Alaska, and they, QVC used to do this thing called the Quest for the Best, for the 50 and 50 tour. They would go to 50 states in 50 weeks and have merchandise fairs, and then the best products, the best 20 products from each state would be featured once a week. And then the ones that won would become regular products, and the Pooping Moose was too kitschy to mm-hmm. not succeed. It was just this little wooden thing. You push the head, and the M&Ms came right out, or whatever else you put in.
No, the tail you push.
The hard way.
Tail. Well, let's see. I just found one, $39.99. John found it for me. Hand carved wooden moose that poops M&Ms ornament figurine.
It's a knockoff Pooping Moose.
You can't have a knockoff. You insist on the original.
I think one of them you had to build yourself.
I don't. Oh, this.
Well, the one we sold came preassembled
without the M&Ms.
Without
you provide your own M&Ms or a Nestle's chocolate chips, which was very interesting.
Under the hot lights.
This one says just lift his head and he will poop both peanut and regular flavored M&Ms. I guess it's used as good as new. It's a used moose.
So what is your guess? Okay. Does he have one he can hook me up with?
So, Steve, do you know of any other sources of the moose?
Well, I would bet eBay would have them available. I would bet that there'd be a bunch of them.
Now, there are a bunch of them. In fact, I see a set of three right here. Now here's the Pooping Moose candy dispenser, free 2-day shipping with. Where's the moose? This is Amazon. I don't see it there, but I do see it on eBay. So I think if you're willing to do eBay, you will find your moose.
I thought maybe he might be stockpiling some, and I wish I had.
Now that I know that there's a
demand, demand.
Thank you, Rally. Right. That's helpful.
Thanks, I appreciate it, Mary. Good luck. I would assume, Steve, that you were permanently scarred when your moose didn't exactly poop.
Well, see, that was the thing I had a flair for the Pooping Moose. How sad. I've never put that on my resume, but I had a flair with the moose because I would talk to it. I would talk to it and say, so how's it going? How are things?
Turn your head and cough.
Everything good? Have you found steady work since Captain Kangaroo went off the air? I mean, I little thing that we would chat back and forth. And so one day, just out of boredom, I thought, well, you know, there's got to be other stuff that it could poop out besides M&Ms.
Right. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Don't go away. I don't want to cut this one short because it's just too good. All right. So we'll leave Steve and the moose and the growing demand for said moose, maybe not Steve's, and your calls coming up next hour here on WGN Radio.
I bought a bag of groceries down at the grocery store. I only bought one bag, couldn't afford to buy one more. I'm as hungry as can be, I'm eating Chef Boyardee, and suffered from the old inflation blues. Well, I stopped at the filling station to fill up my gas tank. Saw the price per gallon, had to check in with my bank. The gas keeps getting higher and the president's a liar. Won't admit he caused the old inflation blues. Well, the old inflation blues, every day I read the news. The middle class has disappeared from sight. The old inflation blues, there's not much left to lose. My back's against the wall, it's time to fight. There's crime on every city street, I see it every day. Rapists, thieves, and lunatics, they won't keep them locked away. They defunded the police, now there's no one to keep the peace. It's all part of the old inflation blues. The old inflation blues, every day I read the news. The middle class has disappeared from sight. The old inflation blues, there's not much left to lose. My back's against the wall, it's time to fight.
Good
and
stuff.
May God bless
every
United
one of
States
us.
Of America.
And the United States of America. And it's WGN Radio, and I'm Raleigh James, stepping all over Steve Bryan. Apologies for that. And all the links are on Raleigh.net to Steve's YouTube page and his blog, which is a wonderful blog, and terrific stuff. Now, I'm leaving the pooping moose and what's about to happen to him in abeyance, because after we played Not Leaving on a Jet Plane, Steve, we got Bonnie, and she is at the Dallas airport not leaving on a jet plane. So,
oh dear.
Bonnie, welcome to WGN Radio. Bonnie?
Hello.
Yes.
Sorry.
So what terminal are you in?
No, I'm not at the Dallas airport. I'm in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
With family, but okay. I'm supposed to board Southwest on Wednesday, but all of the flights that I'm supposed to be on Wednesday to get back to Chicago, they're not flying. And my daughter-in-law was on a flight from Dallas to Tucson, but had a layover in Vegas, and she ended up with people she didn't know. They met in the terminal, they rented a car, and they drove 8 hours together.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them.
And now they've made new friends, and her suitcase, which was full of gifts for the family in Tucson, plus homemade cookies and homemade meatballs, which by now are quite ripe.
Yeah.
So, who knows when, and I don't know if anybody saw that video of the young fellow that finally found his luggage at Midway Airport in Chicago, and he jumped up and down, and he was so happy because now he had his clothes for New Year's Eve. And it's just a sea of luggage all of these areas.
Now, what's interesting, and Steve, you heard the news too, where they're all, you know, making all these apologies, and Southwest will be making an announcement soon. Well, apparently the announcement they made to Bonnie is a week from now, next Wednesday, 6 whole days, they're still not flying her anywhere.
Oh boy!
And the best they're doing is giving now free coffee in the terminal.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, that's going to down your trouble.
Boy.
Unless they're lacing it with something. Good luck on that.
Well, and there was a basketball team, a girls' basketball team from here, from Dallas area, to fly out to go to Orlando for tournament. Well, that didn't happen, so they rented vehicles. And then another person, a story that I heard, somebody could not, they couldn't fly Southwest, so they wanted to rent a car. There are no vehicles available in Chicago or at Midway or O'Hara.
Right, of course
they
not.
They had to go down to Peoria to get a car to rent, to drive to wherever they were supposed to go for the holiday.
And, you know, it's interesting, when you start renting from places like Peoria, very often they don't allow for one-way rentals, because if they did, they'd never get the cars back.
Well, and...
because who's going?
And then the other... and because Southwest is not hooked up with the other airlines, you can't take your ticket from Southwest and go to American or United, and they'll recognize you.
No,
that's not happening with Southwest.
They may have a deal with the Goodyear blimp.
I wish it was flying. And now those flights are now jacked up to $1,000 one way.
Yeah, wrong. Just wrong. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the way Southwest is going to cure its money woes.
Well, I wish I was a marketing agent for one of these outfits and say, come on over here. I'll give you a flight for $200.
Well,
and they could,
But they don't have the flights, you know, that's the thing. The other airlines aren't in this much of a mess, but it's not like they got spare planes.
Well, and it wasn't because of
weather.
That's a good point. Trust me, was not because of weather.
Weather was the icing on an already badly baked cake.
Yes.
Oh, evidently
yes.
So.
Yes.
Evidently
that's
so.
That's why I wrote the parody, even though the first two lines jumped into my head. They wouldn't leave me alone last night until I finished it. When I wrote, all my bags are lost, my plane's on the ground, I thought, well, I have to do something. I have to poke them with a sharp stick or something. And
I truly enjoyed that. I truly enjoyed it.
Well,
and
thank
since
you.
I'm a great QVC shopper, my ears are wide open.
All right. Well, good luck, Bonnie. We hope to see you soon.
Yeah. I'll be around in the blimp, I guess.
Yes, I'll look for that. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Safe travels.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, other flights may not be enriched because they're already completely full, but I'm thinking sales of GMC motorhomes right about now might be going up.
Oh, I'm sure that. And imagine if you have the least popular food pavilion at the airport, you're making more money than God right now. Let's say you sell, skunk on a stick.
Right.
The line goes down the terminal.
That's
for
right.
Skunk on a stick.
And there are no specials on it.
That's
now,
right.
With that in mind, let's get back to our moose. So you were fond of talking to the moose. The moose never talked back, but then you got this brilliant idea. Let's hear it.
I had this idea. By the way, I believe this story is my version, is my own J. Thomas Lone Ranger story.
Yeah, right.
That's what this has become, and I think that's great. Well, so I'm selling the moose, and you push the head and the poops out the M&Ms, and then you eat them. So that was fine. I said, I wonder what else you could put in this. What else could it possibly poop out? I thought a crayon might look interesting.
Oh God!
But I couldn't make that work.
Yeah.
It always got jammed.
Yeah.
In fact, they had to trash several of the pooping mooses because of the stuff I was trying to cram
right.
into their digestive system
right.
to get them to poop out.
That would be the constipated said, moose. Yes.
Well, that's it. That's it. That was going to be a whole special
yeah.
subcategory
because right.
they were always pushing for new SKUs. So there
right.
it is, the constipated moose.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, well, here we go. Chocolate chips. Oh my God, this is brilliant. Toll House chocolate chips. They look like poop. This is great. This couldn't be any better.
Uh-huh.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
So I loaded the thing with chocolate chips, hit the head a couple of times, and it pooped out chocolate chips. And I'm thinking, this is just going to be funny. Well, then the moose bakes under the hot studio lights for, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so I get to the moose and I said, I gloriously, so how's it going, moose? Going okay? Going all right? You digestive system up to snuff? Let's see what you got for me. And I put my hand out and I push the head down and just sort of like squeezing toothpaste out of a tube. Here comes this brown ooze into my hand. And I thought, oh, good Lord. And I the camera, of course, is trained to go to my hand. So it's a close-up, beautiful, brilliant color. And with this ooze in my hand, I said, well, wait a minute. It's just jammed. Let me fix it. So I stick my finger up the moose's butt. And then the camera's like dead close on me. And then they realize how awful this looks. So they pull back to a medium shot of just me with my finger up the moose's butt. So I just looked down at the moose, patted its head, and said, turn your head and cough.
Yeah.
I was never allowed to sell the moose again.
The only thing worse would have been if you ate it.
I have a, do you have a moment? Because I have a story about that I've never told, and it's air safe, I promise.
Well, that's all right. But by the way, when I first heard about that, and there are, as you know, tapes of that around, the first thing I thought is, thank God I wasn't there, because I would have leaned right into the camera and said, attention, coprophiliacs. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
One moose, two cups. Yeah.
Right, yes. So, yes, tell me about it.
Yeah, so, okay. Among some of the things we sold the 15 years I was there, we sold an automatic pooper scooper. Now, this to me sounded pretty stupid because their thing was, you never have to touch the poop. Okay, I understand that. It scoops the poop and pops it into a plastic bag. Well, that's fine, but I could bend over and do that myself. Of course, their big thing was, now you don't have to bend over.
Yeah, let's, by the way,
now that I'm 72.
Let's interrupt real quick and say, this is for your pet, all right? This is not for home usage,
yes,
all right? This is for your pet.
Yeah, this right. isn't some bizarre. We didn't stoop to selling. Anyway,
yeah.
But the big thing was, you don't have to bend over to pick up your pet's poop. You just go out and scoop it up. But you look at the edge of the thing that you put
you have to put it down to knock the poop into the bag, that edge gets covered in poop.
Right.
You have to clean off that edge or face starting another bubonic plague.
Right,
outbreak.
Right.
I
mean, you don't want to bring that in the house. Agreed.
Exactly, exactly. So, but we demoed it inside, and we had, you know, those little plastic piles of dog poop you can buy from the novelty store?
Oh, yeah.
We had those all over the floor. Mm-hmm. And I would just go along and boop, pick them up, boop, pick it up. It was just great. Pick up your poop, boop, pick it up. Everything's fine and wonderful. Well, I had seen an old Cheech and Chong routine, and I based this shtick on that. And here it was. I come up, and they come to me, and I go, "Hi, welcome to QVC. It's great to have you here." And I'm Steve Bryan. I said, "Yep, the automatic pooper scooper is here." I said, "Oh, look at the floor." And the camera goes to the floor. I said, "Puppy's been naughty. Time to go into action." I said, but first, I reached down, and I picked up one of the piles of dog poop. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, it feels like dog poop." And then I put it to my nose, and I sniffed. "It smells like dog poop, too." And Raleigh then...
No. No.
I licked it.
No.
I said, oh, tastes like dog poop. And I threw it back down. I said, "It's a good thing we didn't step in it."
Oh, no.
Well,
no.
Some poor lady in the Midwest passed out. She just thought, "Oh my God!"
Oh God! I'm surprised.
So that's the pooper scooper story.
I'm surprised you were there the next day.
Well, I did have to atone. I did have to.
No! Wait! How would you atone from that?
Yesterday, while demonstrating the automatic pooper scooper.
I went a little bit too far,
and I do want to apologize if that upset you, but please realize that we demonstrate it with plastic dog poop. And then, of course, I can't leave it alone. I said, "At least that's what they keep telling me."
Oh, God. So,
exactly. So, anyway, they just said, "Let him go. Shut him up. Who cares?"
Oh, God. Yeah, it's 15 years. That's really more of an accomplishment than I ever realized. We're talking to Steve Bryant. We'll get to Leah and Marcus Hook. There's room for you two. That's right. Normally, this is Christmas night. But, yeah, when we're saying the weirdest Christmas presents ever, you can see them or you used to be able to see them demonstrated on QVC. Not anymore. Not fun anymore. But it will be here tonight on WGN Radio.
Takes all night to do. Never ate before sundown, now I'm chowing down at 2. I avoid the prime rib, it's just too hard to chew. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. I have wrinkles everywhere, some places wrinkles shouldn't be. AARP's been after me since I was 43. It takes about an hour every time I pee. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. Get discounts everywhere I go. Where were they when I was making real dough? There's a special bus for every grandpa and gram. I take it, but sometimes I forget where I am. Bought myself an iPhone, can't work the thing at all. Doesn't really matter, I never get a call. My belly's getting bigger, but my bladder got so small. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. I have a special doctor, he's a geriatric whiz. I'll go to see him when I remember where he is. My memory's not that bad, but I hope there's not a quiz. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. Can't afford to go too far away. Stay home when I take vacations. It's hard to find music I like. It's even too old for the oldie station. There are dating services for those who did survive.
I'd like to try them, but I think my wife is still alive. If it's further than two blocks, you know I'm going to drive. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy.
I still say that's the absolute best. And my FM station in Arizona plays it in regular rotation. And Steve, of course, I can play more than a minute and a half because that's Steve and he wrote it. All right. So he's got the rights to it. And I don't think he's charging us. And Steve, that is a woulda, coulda, shoulda. That should have been a smash.
I keep pitching it. The funny thing is, that's one of the many songs that playing on one of the Sirius XM country channels right now. And I'm delighted. I mean, that's a demo. That's not a track. That's a, no. I do pretty decent demos when I put my mind to it. And I'm so flattered and pleased that your country station, your FM station, is playing it. And I someday somebody in Nashville will do it. I've had multiple song pluggers tell me, he said, you're going to have a hard time finding somebody who will admit they're old enough to sing this.
And you know, there's a certain amount of truth to that, but the idiots who passed on it would have been their next huge hit, would have been the Oak Ridge Boys. And then the guy goes and dies. He's not only an older, wiser kind of guy, he's a dead guy, but he was too young to sing this? I don't think so. So, yeah.
I understand. Well, it was Charlie Pride.
Oh, I know. He turned it down, too. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Just wrong. And we will get to Leah and to Stephanie and to Chuck. And we're talking to Steve Bryan. And there's room for you two here on WGN Radio.
The disinformation governance board, because the pen is mightier than the sword. Thomas Jefferson rolling in his grave. Not much First Amendment left there to save. They'll keep us safe, print all the news that fits under the watchful eye of Nina Jankowicz. It's the New World Order. Thank the Lord, the disinformation governance board. We shouldn't get mad, no sense of complaining. They're gonna pee in our eye and tell us it's raining. Republicans and Democrats argue every day. When the subject is freedom, they don't have much to say. The inconvenience will be quite minimal. Just be careful, don't be a thought criminal. Just gave birth, time to cut the cord. The disinformation governance board. Freedom of speech might put you in jail. At least there's a chance you won't have to make bail. The same old story, we've heard it before. Like Germany in the 1930s and Orwell's 1984. I wonder what kind of truth they'll be hiding about immigration and maybe Hunter Biden. Instagram, Facebook, and maybe even Twitter will be alive and well while the truth goes in the... There won't be forgiveness and no absolution as we bid farewell to the U.S. Constitution. It's the New World Order. Thank the Lord. The Disinformation Governance Board.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Steve Bryant, who made QVC so much fun to watch. And, you know, it's interesting when you were first telling me the history, I was almost sure that they were smart enough to think the only thing we've got on our side is entertainment. But apparently you were somewhat of a surprise to them.
They really had, they had no concept. I mean, everybody else was toe the line, be a solid citizen, I guess you'd say, conform, do it the same way everybody else does it. And I said, well, what fun is that? You know, what fun is that for the audience if we're all just a bunch of little robots that come out and do it the same way? I mean, I remember... I mean, the Barbie Jello wrestling incident. That was a way of demonstrating a Barbie doll.
And we found out Jello.
Dirty. Yeah, I couldn't get reimbursed for the 5 pounds of Jello I had to buy.
Oh, it's so funny.
Everybody else was the management, until Barry Diller came along, management... The only reason they didn't fire me is that I made them a lot of money.
Right.
And I could sell, like, I spent, you know, almost 9 years as a creative director of an advertising agency, and you learn how to sell pretty much anything. I remember having to learn how to sell unbreakable wire that goes under your carpet for an industrial complex. I even remember this, a company called Thomas & Betts made a line of wiring and cabling called Unbreako that you just put under your carpet so you didn't have to bash holes in the wall.
Not bad. And, actually, you know, that seems like some esoteric weird product, but I got to tell you, having done a lot of cabling, unbreakable wire is a pretty nifty thing.
It is. It really did. And they did it great, and they did a great advertising bit. I mean, one time we had to, when I was in advertising, I had to create a film, write the script, and produce a film on a thing called the OWL system, O-W-L, Online Without Limits. And this was software in the late 80s.
Okay.
And it was, holy cow, talk about, I mean, by today's standards, completely archaic, but back then it was state-of-the-art, couldn't be better. And they said, well, we want to tell people that it saves them money, that it's secure, it has audit trails, it has great longevity and what have you. So Philadelphia, back in the late, I guess this was the late 70s, back then they had a narrator named Scott Sanders,
mm-hmm.
who was one of the greatest impersonators ever. He could nail anybody. I mean, he was, just fabulous. So I created this film script where Jack Benny talked to you about why it saved you money. George C. Scott, as General Patton, talked about why it was secure. And John Wayne talked about the audit trails. He kind of confused that with happy trails. And all the people, all the characters were kind of nuts. They didn't kind of understand what this was.
Of course not.
We had a straight narrator, and this man is legendary. Mel Alpern was our straight narrator, and he was like, well, Mr. Benny, don't you think? And just back and forth. Anyway, bottom line, we do the film. It wins lots of awards, lots and lots of awards in the industry. They thought it was great. But more importantly, the company, the startup company that did the OWL system, got bought by this software giant of the time called Pansophic.
Oh, wow.
They were bought, and all the principals of the company became multimillionaires.
Nice.
So they loved it. They loved me.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's a great story.
Learn to sell stuff like that. Yeah, you can pretty much look at the stuff that's coming across the board and say, oh, okay, there is a brass clock that I was thinking about killing somebody with so I could just spend the rest of my life in jail because I had to sell it every night. It was hideous. But other than that, things were pretty good.
All right, let's have Leah join us. And Marcus Hook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine.
Hi, Leah. I'm great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fighting a toothache tonight, but the codeine and the wine are helping.
Oh, I'll bet this is going to be a good call.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I watched you for years on QVC, and I still have my collection of state pins. Do you remember those?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. From the those were the ones from the 50 and 50 tour.
Yes, the 50-50 tour,
yes.
Exactly. Yep, I still have those.
Yeah.
But last night, Raleigh was... I'm sorry?
No, go for
wonderful.
It.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Oh, yes. Last night, Raleigh was asking about our weirdest presents ever, and one time, well, my mother, after my parents divorced, my mother remarried, and her new mother-in-law was a piece of work. She was from Boston, so she had that accent, and she was she smoked like a chimney, so she had this real gravelly voice, and she never knew what to buy me for the holidays. We weren't that close. So one year my mother called me up and was asking me, because my mother didn't know me at all, so she asked me all these questions about what my favorite things were, and she was asking me everything from clothing to perfume to food and everything, and I just answered her. I didn't know why she was asking me. And so I walked into my mom's house that Christmas, and I said hi to everybody, and the mother-in-law said to me, Yeah, your presents in the refrigerator. And I said, well, I can't do the Boston accent, but and I said, well, okay. I said, that doesn't make any sense, but okay. I said, is it wrapped? And she said, no, you can go look at it. I said, well, what, can you just tell me what it is? She said, it's orange roughy.
Orange roughy. She brought you
evidently,
a fish.
Evidently, when my mother asked me what kind of fish I liked, I had answered orange roughy. And so she bought me a pound of orange roughy.
Whoa.
And she, I can see her.
That is hands down, even though Albert gave me a fire extinguisher last year, that is hands down, the orange roughy is hands down the weirdest present I've ever got.
Thank God she didn't wrap it.
Thank God she told me what it was and left it in the refrigerator at least,
yeah.
You know, and didn't put it under the tree.
Now, did you eat it?
Yes, I did. I took it home, I put it in the freezer, and I, you know, I ate it. Me and my cat ate it, actually.
Good, okay. A shared meal.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
All right, Leah. Yeah, I think orange roughy might take the cake.
I think that's right up there.
All right, thanks, Leah.
Thanks, bye.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Leah.
All right, well.
Great story.
Yeah, you know, someone called last night and asked me the strangest, you know, the oddest gift I ever got. I really didn't have one. But, of course, nobody ever gave me orange roughy. But now that I think of it, one year somebody did give me anchovies. But it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I like anchovies, and they, you know, where I was living at the time, they were rather hard to find. So they gave me like tons of tins of anchovies. I actually was thrilled with it, you know. So it wasn't that odd, you know. But I mean, it wasn't something that needed to be refrigerated. They wrapped it. All right. So let's see. Stephanie is in Madison. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh, and hi, Steve. I've come back to QVC. I'm a big fan, and. It's been a godsend for me because, now that I lost a lot of my sight, it's harder to go out shopping. Yeah. And I've gotten a lot of things that I've really needed, but, I just wanted to call and say, hey, I am totally enjoying your songs. I'm enjoying this show. I mean, it's just been one hell of a year in some ways, and this is a good end, listening to the show and hearing, I love hearing Leah's laughter, hearing all of you guys talking and sharing. It's just, it's great. It's really lifting my spirits a whole lot.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you checked in.
Yeah,
I am
too.
I am so flattered by that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wonderful. Oh, thank you.
I love the Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, because you're not on them.
Oh, God. I just, what a catastrophe. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
It's just, it's a catastrophe. It's the only word I can think of, really, to describe it. But, no, and I love the last song about getting all getting older. It's delightful. And my husband and I used to order from QVC, and we get cool things. He loved they have these cars, these little metal cars with every single detail. I mean, he used to love to do models, and this is a long time ago. We had, you know, everything we got was, we didn't get any weird stuff, but I remember getting a tool kit. It was a screwdriver with a light in it, which was pretty good. And then for years, you know, didn't use it at all. Until now we got a smart TV, and, I called, and they still had, all of our information, like from years and years ago.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
Yep. Yeah. But it's. You have me at my daughter's when she heard me say QVC. Now, Mom, be careful. I said, I'm fine. I said, I really, I do enjoy watching it on TV. Sometimes I will just simply use the automated number because sometimes I find some of the people annoying at times, especially if they're getting just too hyper. I won't mention any names, but it's like, you know. but I did retail way back when, and I loved hearing the sales pitches. I liked to hear how people would describe things and sell things, and some of the hosts were really good. So anyway, I've said enough, but just wanted to call in and say hi to you guys and just let you know I am enjoying the show very, very much.
Well, great to hear from you. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Well, thank
so
you.
Much,
thank
Stephanie.
You. All right. You take care.
You too. All right. We're
okay,
talking
bye
to Steve
bye.
Bryant. And by the way, there are serious songs as well, and we'll be playing some of those, not to dampen the mood, but some of them are darn good, too. But I think we've got another on a theme of old people coming up, and we'll talk to Chuck in Rockford. There is no correlation there. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
And nothing much that I can't do. I'll take on any challenge and always see it through. My years have brought me wisdom. God and common sense kept me alive. There's so much more I can do. I've got the time and still have the drive. Senior citizen, I'm better than I was yesterday. I know what works and what won't. It's high time I had my say. Call me a senior citizen. Advertisers say I don't exist. So many battles I have won, almost too many to list. Drive an 18-wheeler, write a song that'll make you cry. I can still turn a pretty lady's head. I don't even have to try. I can build a bookshelf or a house, fix almost anything that breaks. I'm not afraid to try new things and learn from my mistakes. Senior citizen, I'm better than I was yesterday. I know what works and what won't. It's high time I had my say.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Steve Bryant, like me, proud to be a senior citizen. And apparently, Steve, not too many recording artists in Nashville are proud of that.
Well, not yet. Not yet. Again, SiriusXM loves it. It's on, I believe, two of their channels.
Good.
And, it's funny how that was written. I keep a notebook. All songwriters, all writers should have a notebook or a journal with them. If you'll say, I just put it in my phone. No. You got to write it down.
Yeah.
It's got to be on paper. Pen and paper. That's you know.
Yeah.
You know, God frowns and cries when you put it in your phone. But anyway, and by the way, when I have these spiral notebooks, when they get about half full, I go out and buy another one because then they're running out of charge. You know, at that point in time,
like, right. Yeah.
No new ideas are going to come into this notebook
right.
at all. So, I get the new notebook. I wrote down a phrase called, God and common sense kept me alive. And I usually create a couplet or a phrase that the song is built from, and that's where this song was built. God and common sense kept me alive. And then I saw a movie about Helen Reddy, a TV movie made for TV, and on one of the many streaming services.
Right.
I think I have 5,000 streaming services. I'm not
easily,
sure.
Easily.
I lost track, but I know I'll be out of money next year, I think, with the streaming services. But so I see this Helen Reddy movie, and her career did okay. She was doing fine. And then she did, you know, I Am Woman, and everything changed. And I thought, you know, seniors do not have an anthem. Well, I'll be egotistical enough to say now they do. And somebody is going to take that song, and it will become such a giant because of the subject matter that song is playing on, like I said, on Sirius, but it was also picked up by the retail network, for the off-Christmas retail network.
Oh, good.
Stores that play music and everything, they took it up. And they said to me, that's such an unusual subject.
You're right.
And so, I said, well, yeah, nobody writes about us old farts. So,
right.
There you go. So, I'm real proud of that. That one that was going to be something big someday. I might be long dead, but right. that was going to be something big.
Right.
Someday.
Your estate. Now, speaking of that, by the way, now that you're on Sirius XM, I mean, I always report shit to Sound Exchange every quarter, no matter what. I'm sure you haven't gotten 25 cents yet, but are you getting a couple bucks because of Sirius?
Couple of bucks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not huge, but hey, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. And look, they said yes when Nashville was saying, who the hell are you?
Well, exactly. And not only that, it means that Sound Exchange does have your address. You know, that's encouraging.
Yeah, indeed. And that's a good thing. So, no, I was very pleased with that. But it's funny how I write songs and how I've always written. You know, I was a music major in college. So, I mean, that just comes through. And I always play guitar. My parents bought me a Sears Silvertone guitar when I was 10.
Ah, you and Richie Valens.
They were made in America back then.
Yes, you and Richie Valens.
Yeah, and it was a great little arch top, and I played the living daylights out of it. I learned how to adjust it because, you know, back then when you bought a guitar, there was enough room between the strings and the fingerboard to have a company picnic.
Yeah.
But I adjusted. It was very playable, sounded great, and I would play and we had all those old race records on the I guess the Cotillion Bluebird label or what
yes,
have you with all the great blues artists, and I would copy what, because I guess I'm very blues influenced, and I would copy what these masters were playing. Nobody told me when I was 11 and 12 years old that they were many times using alternate tunings,
of course.
So henceforth, I didn't know this, so henceforth, I have about a 9-fret span with my little stubby fingers, because I had to be able to play what they played. And then when I said, oh, wait, this was an open E, oh, damn, you know, I only have to move 2 frets.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember Richie Valens was a Silvertone Stratotone H44.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I know this because I still have the papers. You know, Sears actually repossessed it after his death, tried to, and sued his mother for payment.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So,
that's the only way I knew what the model number was.
Oh, God. Oh, God. He was, yeah. You know, I thought of, it's a shame, snuffed out so young, because he was a really, I thought, a really good songwriter for the time, and if he had grown and nurtured that,
yeah, he would have done
multi-track
well.
And everything, could have been something.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, that was on Keen Records and Delphi and all the labels that Bob Keen owned, and so Bob Keen wanted the next Hispanic superstar. Oh my God, he picked Chad Romero from Montana. You're saying, who's that? And I rest my case. So, all right.
So. Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because you and I totally agree on, you know, the when Elvis was out there looking for the next Elvis.
And it's the Beatles.
They had no idea that the next Elvis would look nothing like Elvis. So consequently, many mediocre male singers got their break because they thought they would be the next Elvis. And then four guys came out of Liverpool and said, hi.
Well, exactly. And, you know, we talk about that a lot now. It would be much harder now because in the days, whether it's Elvis or the Beatles, you had very limited media choices. Now, of course, like you say, 5,000 streaming services. So it's very hard. But, we'll pick it up right there. We got another hour of this, and we're with Steve Bryan, and you can be too. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
He never really cherished all the friendships that he had. Never saw the better half. He always saw the bad. Kept mainly to himself. No one knew why. And when his burden got too great, he'd call out to the sky. Take me home, sweet Jesus. I've seen all I want to see. Take me home, sweet Jesus. Please come and set me free. Take me home, sweet Jesus. Show your guiding light. Take me home, sweet Jesus. take me home tonight. Say that he was different, he was a younger man, had a loving family, a wife who would understand. No one knows what happened. Some blame it on his age. Most have heard him late some nights, his voice raised in rage. Take me home, sweet Jesus, I've seen all I want to see. Take me home, sweet Jesus, please come and set me free. Take me home, sweet Jesus, show your guiding light. Take me home, sweet Jesus, take me home tonight.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Steve Bryant, and it's not a parody, and it's not funny, but in fact, when Steve first recorded, he said, I know, it's the kind of song you don't like, but actually, I did like it from the start, and now that I've heard it several times, I really like that song, Steve. I would think somebody should record that.
Well, Raleigh, thank you for that. That song, as you know, that song is very special to me. It's pretty much biographical. A man who raised me was my great-uncle Ed. My mother was a wonderful human being, but back in the 50s and 60s, they didn't know what was going on. And today, I'm sure one or two pills a day could fix what was wrong with her. They knew nothing about depression or anything like that, or bipolarism. So she was incapable of doing what she had to do. And my Uncle Ed, a confirmed bachelor, my great uncle Ed, he didn't have a child, and I was sort of his adopted son. And Raleigh, every summer we traveled, and he knew everybody. It's unbelievable the number of people that he knew across this country. Famous people. He knew famous people, which was amazing. I mean, he knew Al Hirt. He knew Ed Sullivan. He knew Arthur Godfrey. An amazing guy. And then dementia hit, and that turned everything. And he became a bitter, miserable man who eventually sought his own escape.
Yeah.
And that the last verse of that song is about. You know, no one spoke at the service, and I said, I hope the Lord forgave him for finding his release. But very special person to me. I mean, the fun that we had, the wacky times that we had together, and I learned so much from him. He was a craftsman, an inventor, what have you. And this is the story of his life. He was a flyer in World War I, and a rather distinguished flyer. Came back to America after the war was over, and gee, what a surprise. There were no jobs for the veterans. But he'd built his own plane. And somebody came to him one day at the Jersey Shore and said, hey, could that old bucket make it up to Canada? And he said, sure. It might probably be four or five hops, but I can make it to Canada. He said, well, would you go pick something up for me? And Uncle Ed said, okay, what? And it was Prohibition. He said, booze. He said, the good Canadian whiskey. And so that started his career. He became a very successful bootlegger during Prohibition, running two planes and a bunch of boats, bringing in the good stuff from offshore. Retired from that, made some investments. And he was always inventing things. He also invented, this is Googleable, if you Google the Compass Course Finder and Edwin Bennett, he invented the Compass Course Finder, which was the standard in marine navigation for like 20 years before Loran, the radio and what have you, came into being.
Wow.
So that's the story of the guy behind that song.
That it's a great story, and it underscores something that I think we all need to remember, and that's Alzheimer's, of course, there's no doubt the horrors of Alzheimer's for, of course, the patient, especially those who are still keenly aware that the problem is manifesting, and the families. But then you hit that point where people's personalities change, often for the very worst, and it's vital that when interacting, we remember that the person that we knew and love is not there when they're doing that. And far too many people very often will lash out in response. And I think it's our responsibility, since we have most of our mental faculties still in place, to understand that when people don't, their personality changes are beyond their control.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. I kept him at home as long as I could. I was in college at the time, and eventually found a veterans care facility that was actually quite excellent. And they took very good care of him for 2 months, and they couldn't stay with him all the time, and all the times they weren't with him. And I think that was, when you think about it, I think about the dynamic man he had been. It was for the best.
Well, right. I would never deny anybody that choice in that type of a situation. I think it's criminal to do anything other than that. The hardest thing for the caregiver is to recognize when that time has come, because there's such guilt with it, because the first thing you think, of course, is, well, I'm doing this for me, and I'm going to be putting him in a warehouse, and this is just terrible. And that very well may be true, but there comes a point when there is no other choice. And yes, some places are better than others, but we're still looking at facilities, no matter how you spell it.
Yes.
And even so, there are points that you can get to where there is nothing left as a caregiver that you can do other than destroy yourself in the process. And that's not for anybody's betterment. And I think that's a crushingly hard thing to do in a decision you come to making. But ultimately, it's a decision that may have to be made. And what I wonder is, I realize people are living longer now, that's true, but we are seeing so much more severe dementia, I think, than ever before. And that's where you start to wonder, is it what we're eating? I mean, I don't know. I don't know why we're suddenly, I don't think it's just that we're living longer.
I agree. I think there's some environmental impact, whether it's a medicine that we're taking or that we have taken in the past, or something we're eating, ingesting, or what have you. It happened in his case, it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And just something. But the song is, whatever happened, I'm pitching the song. Obviously that one's not on Sirius because I haven't produced it yet. Right. I don't know quite how to produce that one. I'm still thinking about it.
Much the way you did it. I don't think it needs much embellishment and shouldn't have it.
No, I agree. Maybe just a bass guitar to bring a little bottom into it, and that's pretty much it. And maybe a light third harmony on the chorus. Maybe that's all I can hear there.
I agree. Very should remain simple, because that's part of the wonderful charm of that song. And it is. It's just moving. And in fact, Stacy from Algonquin, who has faced a horrendous loss this year, her husband of many, many years, Raldo, passed away. She's joining us, and she liked it. So, Stacy, glad you liked it.
Hi, Raleigh. Hi, Steve. I liked
your
song very much, because my husband, Raldo, it's going on 11 months that I lost him.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's tough.
And it was just like, I knew he was sick, but I had him with me last year.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
It is hard. It is so hard.
What gets me is I'm always here for everybody, and I'm praying for everybody. I'm blessing everybody. And when I talk, like, to Mark about Desiree, she's back in the hospital, it's like everybody forgets about Raldo. I mean, and he did funny little things too. He would buy like little parrots that talked and said different things, and he did all of those things, and it's like everybody else who was supposed to be a friend, nothing. And I'm calling everybody, I hope I'm blessing them. And what did you forget about my husband? I mean, I just don't understand. And I really like that song, Steve. It really, you know, it's really hard right now.
It is hard, Stacy. And, you know, in defense of your friends, when a loss like that occurs, people are tongue-tied. They don't even know how to broach it. All they can do is hopefully check in on you and see how you're doing. They don't even know how to start the discussion beyond that.
Well, it's really, well, my friend Rick, he'll check in on me. And then Tracy's coming tomorrow. Tracy and Michelle help me. And, but you know, Steve, my neighbor next door, too, it was really weird. Raldo passed away February 7th of 22. And my next-door neighbor, his buddy Bob, he was friends with everybody. He just loved everybody, Raldo. A month after Raldo, Bob had cancer, and he passed away in March, my next-door neighbor.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, Stacy, can I give you just from a personal perspective here? Because what Raleigh said is exactly right. I lost my wife and unborn son in 1976.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's a long time ago. And the same thing happened. People who knew us as a couple, they drifted away. They literally put a little roadblock up because, as Raleigh said, they didn't know what to say.
Right.
But here's the deal. Here's the thing that will make all the difference. I was, and Raleigh and I will talk about this because I don't think she knows too much about this part of my life. I used to do puppet shows, okay? Like a lot of puppet shows. Like a lot of puppet shows. Anyway, so, and I made a lot of money when I was in high school doing puppet shows and even into college. Well, when Carol was killed, you go into the tailspin and people are, like in your case, people are ignoring you. But I said, well, I had to earn some sort of a living. And I decided to do the puppet shows again. Well, one of the puppet shows I did for the Shriners Hospital, which is just outside of Philadelphia. This way in the suburbs. And I did it in the springtime, and they wheeled the beds out, like 100-plus beds. They wheeled them out into this beautiful park-like setting. And I did the show outdoors for kids. When you look at those children at the Shriners Hospital, you have to say to yourself, boy, I hit the jackpot. I mean, God bless all of them. Anyway, I got involved, and I started to volunteer and do shows for that hospital. And in getting involved in something that was positive, I started to build a whole new network of friends and a whole new network of people who knew me as me and not me and somebody else. So think about that. Think about getting involved in some sort of volunteer thing where it'll be a whole new beginning for you. Just a thought.
That's a great suggestion. All right. That's a terrific suggestion, Steve. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because, there's something about, and I've seen this from so many friends who have lost a spouse, and it doesn't matter whether it's a husband losing a wife or a wife losing a husband, but that the people who knew them as a couple, once after the funeral is over and they've said their condolences and all that, within a month, they drift off and you never hear from them again. That's it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so much of that. And I think that is a great antidote. And I know it's not easy for you necessarily getting around, Stacy, but I bet there is some volunteer thing in the neighborhood or some cause or something you could get involved in where people wouldn't be associating you with Raldo or anybody.
I know that we're clearing up the house and everything, and I'm selling a lot, donating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not going to stay here. I know eventually I'm going to go into something smaller and a different place, like you say, with different people and stuff.
Right.
And I know that's going to happen.
Yep.
And I would love to do something at home, Raleigh and Steve, like work on my computer, do a book, do just work on something with children or pets or something like that, because I'm good at
talking. I love talking to people.
Well, I bet there are things that you could do by phone or by computer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll strategize in the new year, Stacy, and try and come up with things that might work.
And I want to wish Raleigh, John, and you, Steve, I want to wish you the most blessed new year, and all of the callers and everybody just be well and have just a fabulous new year from Stacy.
All right, Stacy. We'll talk to you in the new year. Thanks.
Definitely. Bye-bye, Raleigh. Bye, Steve. Bye, Ken.
All right. Bye-bye. So we will get to Chuck in Rockford. I haven't forgotten you, Chuck. We've got Steve Bryant. We've got about another half hour of this, and I hope you'll join us at 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Just one God in heaven, but we call him different names. Just one kind of people, many faces, all the same. It's just one voice of reason, though we might not choose to hear. Just one blue-green planet, so many friends, far and near. There's just one answer to help see us through. Reach out a helping hand, we have so much to do. It's just one life we're given until we pass it on. Just one golden moment, one twilight, one dawn. It's just one set of values for all of us to share. So many chances to show how much we care. There's just one answer to help see us through. Reach out a helping hand, so much to do. It's time enough to learn what we don't know. Just one way for all of us to go.
Steve Bryant on WGN Radio. And yeah, I love the paradise, but it's a wonderful other side you have as well, Steve. And we'll get to Chuck, we'll get to Jeff and Bradley about what we've been playing and more coming up right here, right after the news on WGN Radio.
They'll try to cancel everyone with whom they disagree. Try to cancel comedy, and any speech is free. They'll close down any gathering that doesn't fit their plan. They'll try to cancel the differences between a woman and a man. Try to cancel anything, make up an excuse. There's just one thing that they forgot. They can't cancel the truth. They'll try to cancel history, replace it with their lies. Try to cancel God, close our hearts and minds. They'll silence any teacher who doesn't toe their line. They'll try to cancel anyone who dares to show spine. They'll try to cancel anything, make up an excuse. Just one thing that they forgot. They can't cancel the truth.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Steve Bryant. I usually don't disagree with any of his parodies, but Steve, I think they're trying to cancel the truth all the time.
Oh, they are. They are. That's why I wrote that song. It's unbelievable to me what has happened to this incredible country over the last few decades. The fact that I saw a wonderful single frame cartoon. It was from the Peanuts. It was Linus, and he was shaking his fist with the blanket over his shoulder, shaking his fist at the sky, and saying, "What do you mean you can't question science? Questioning science is how science gets done." And that, I mean, oh my God, I just, you know, the terror that they had this country living in for years, still do, but not as much as it was, say, in 2020, 2021. But that's where that song comes from, that they just try. They try their best, and they try to ignore history, or they change it. I mean, who knew Alexander Hamilton was black? I had no idea. Anyway, if you think about it, and you look at everything that they have tried to alter, somebody's upset about the founding fathers because the founding fathers had slaves. Well, guess what, boys and girls? Welcome to the 1700s. That's the way it was, and there wasn't any. They were trying to do something about it, and I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to listen to those arguments, because Adams kept saying, "Guys, we got to put this slavery thing in the Declaration. That's got to go in now." And they said, "Well, the South will never agree, and then we'll just be a British colony forever." Well, and I think it was Franklin, at least in the musical 1776. Franklin said, "Oh, they'll handle it eventually, but we'll all be long dead by then." And then, see, 1863, they did.
You know, it's interesting. No matter what your point of view, I think one of the most important things is context. And it's not just politics. It's life in general. And we seem to have lost context. But the context of this show is to have a good time. And so,
absolutely.
With that in mind, Jeff is in Bradley. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for calling WGN.
Good morning. Happy New Year to everybody.
You too.
And I want to thank Mr. Bryan. Thank you for the beautiful music. Did you say that this was available or not yet?
Well,
it's available on the internet.
Yeah, on YouTube.
It's available on YouTube. It's on YouTube, okay. And another service called SoundClick, but most YouTube's the easiest place to get it.
And I've got links at Raleigh.net, and after the show I will have a list of everything we played in order, and you could also easily search each one of the songs on YouTube if they're not on Steve's page.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I was remembering that song really touched me that you played a few moments ago.
Yeah,
seven years ago that my father committed suicide right before Christmas.
Oh,
and the funeral and the wake were the day after Christmas, and lost my mother. Was my best friend. I was a caretaker to my mother. I took care of her for 17 years, and she died of a stroke 8 months later. And I was after her death, I was out on the streets. I was homeless.
Wow.
And I had it in my mind that I was going to end my life, and I gave my heart to God, and I said, "God, I need you to turn this thing around for me, because I don't see any way out of this." And He's done miracles for me. There's no reason why I should be here right now. One of my favorite television shows is Knight Rider, and the first episode of Knight Rider is called Knight of the Phoenix, and I was watching it, and I said to myself, "I've been watching this show all my life, and I don't know what a phoenix is." And I looked up phoenix.
Oh.
It is somebody who suffers a horrific tragedy in their lives and then comes out of it with a repurposement.
Yeah.
Well,
the,
sure.
Rising from the ashes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on that, based on rising from the ashes.
Yes. So thank you for what you're doing, and I'm definitely going to be researching you.
Well, good.
Well, thank you.
Good, and thanks.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
You too. All right.
Happy New Year, Jess. Thank you.
So good, and that's somebody who probably doesn't know you from QVC and sees this other side of you, because you'd certainly played guitar on QVC, and Steve, you probably sold more guitars than anyone in the history of QVC, but still, you didn't get much time to show the other side of you, and so I'm so glad we're doing that. Chuck is in Rockford. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello. I'll give you a little ammunition for something to think about in the future, how they're kind of dumbing down things, because I'm no stranger to getting 100 scores on things, you know, and when I had taken a driver's test, I turned a written in, and the person was almost startled, you know, and they said, well, you got 100 on that. And then the next one I took, when I got, I answered all the questions right, but it wouldn't let me get to 100. It told me I could quit when I was, you know, like
right.
maybe
yeah, when,
70
yeah, exactly.
Something.
When you've already passed, yeah. they don't care, yes.
Exactly, exactly.
And this is the trend. And I think I've seen divine intervention. I guess we just have to pray for more of it.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, there's a number of things that, you know, I could comment on, but I guess you probably can tell that I'm in the senior citizen.
You're an older, wiser kind of guy.
I've known some World War One veterans.
Yeah.
Myself, you know, when I was younger, and World War Two veterans. I told Rowley a story about a World War Two veteran about a year ago, I think, where he. Went to a wedding, and when he got there, his wife was marrying somebody else. But I think the reason the person told me about that is I was about 15 years old at that time, and they didn't want me to make the same kind of mistake, you know, not knowing somebody that you were getting hitched up with.
Take time to know her. I believe that was a song.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
not an overnight thing.
Yeah, they found out that she was married to about 10 other guys, and she had already collected one death benefit.
Well, everybody's got to have a hobby.
That's true. Or a side hustle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you do it well enough, I guess it could be your occupation.
Yeah. I've been there in a lot of those situations, though, you know, with as a caregiver and one thing and another.
Sure.
And I'm thankful that some of my family came along and were helpful,
yeah.
you know, for the seniors, because I know it extended their life, and yeah. my mother was one of them, you know, that I thought she was going to make the 100 mark, but she got to 97 and a half, you know, and I know she probably couldn't have done it without some assistance from family.
Of course. Absolutely.
But, I didn't realize that that you were co-hosting.
Annual tradition, usually on Christmas night. But since Christmas night was a Sunday, we decided to do it tonight, the last show of the year, and you're pretty much wrapping
it up. I really enjoyed it. I probably would have been more prepared for some comments, but I think even in my lifetime, I've seen some divine interventions, you know.
All good.
You don't know. I guess you can just only hope that there's more of them.
And I hope there will be, too. And I hope I'll talk to you
Indeed.
Soon in the new year. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it. All right, so
take care.
888-876-5593 if you want the last word, which is always hard to get a word in with us. Otherwise, Steve, Brian, and I will just prattle on. And, of course, you can go to Raleigh.net, and you'll see links directly to Steve's YouTube page, and you'll see links to his blog. And then after the show, I'll list the songs in order that I played if you want to go ahead and find any of them. So that's where we'll pick it up in the waning moments of the last show of the year on WGN Radio.
Only a dollar a day, but that's forever. I gave up a latte every week, it's not that clever. Figured when I'd be out of debt, it was never. They said only a dollar a day, but that's forever. They shipped it to me for free, I was ecstatic.
WGN Radio, an oldie but a goodie, but pretty much describes your tenure on QVC. Yeah, yeah, that easy payment was probably more than one person's ruin.
Oh, God, where did you dig that out?
Oh, you have no idea. I've got folders and folders of you.
You were the FBI.
Yeah.
I was always opposed to selling with easy pay.
Yeah.
You know, to say, $8 gets it home. Yeah, but $8 for the rest of your life keeps it home.
Right.
You know, or however long you have to pay it. And I just thought, I mean, easy pay is a nice convenience, and that's it. And it should only be used as a convenience. But it's easy to sell something to somebody if you say to them, hey, $5 gets it home. Come on, you have $5. And then and people, oh, yeah, I'll get it home for $5. And then they realize they're going deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And that's when you know a shopping channel isn't doing well. If you look, and there are some on the air who sell strictly by price, uh-huh. Not QVC or HSN, but QVC or HSN do have fallen prey to the, hey, $9 gets it home. Well, No, it shouldn't. You should tell me why I need it, why I want it. You should make it look appealing to me, and then I'll decide whether I want to pay for it all at once or do $9, you know, a month forever. It's always the sign that they're in trouble. And like I said, there some of the splinter networks that sell totally on price, and then there's that stupid price dropping game.
Oh yeah,
that. You're just, oh, wait, it's not $150. Now it's just $13. Is it?
Well, right, yeah, but wait. Know. Yeah, but wait. There's more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like the Sham Wow guy. Exactly.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, Otter. I don't know whatever happened to him, but probably better we don't know. But, yeah, it's interesting how you're saying that that's a lure to people, because to me, that's the biggest turnoff ever. Because if you tell me I'm going to pay $8 a month or whatever, the first thing I think is I'll be paying long after this product is worn out, broken, or gone.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right. And it just, well, they fell into it. And it's funny. Go back into the history of televised shopping. CVN, the Cable Value Network, they were out of Minnesota.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they sold everything on easy pay.
Right.
Everything. Everything was easy. But they didn't realize, I guess their accountants didn't tell them, guys, we need money now. We have to have operating capital now, and that operating capital is coming in, you know, $3 a month isn't going to cut it. And they eventually went to the point where they were much bigger than QVC, but QVC had a ton of cash because at that point we weren't doing Easy Pay.
And they bought them.
So QVC bought CVS. Yeah, got them right up.
That was like 89.
Yes.
And
yes,
that was a nice price, too. I think it was $400 million in cash and stock.
Yeah, that was, it was done. Of course, now they became ShopNBC and then Value Vision and then ShopNBC and ShopHQ, I think, is what they are now.
They're still on the air?
Oh, absolutely. There's still a lot of watches.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know they were still on the air. Well, my favorite, of course, and I've mentioned this before, was before there was ever a QVC, before there was an HSN, there was some guy in Jenkintown who would bicycle tapes. And it was the Video Mall of Jenkintown, PA. And it was this guy who was hilarious, who obviously hated the two girls selling jewelry who were with him. And just to watch this guy was the best. And the whole time I was in Philadelphia, you know, both on DB and on PHT, I referenced the show often because I wanted to find out who this person was because I never jotted down his name or anything like that. No one ever copped to it. But yeah, the Jenkintown Mall, the Video Mall of Jenkintown, PA. And
I'll be darned.
That was about the time that, if you remember, in the early days before satellite, PTL and CBN used to bicycle the tapes. And
yes,
so
yes.
I guess somebody in Jenkintown said, well, if they can do it with God, I can do it with products. And
there you go.
Yeah, sure enough, he did. And I have no idea what happened to that guy. But I do remember so vividly, before it was cable to a big degree, when it was still CATV and just heading toward cable. And of course, the difference,
right,
as you so well know, Steve, is CATV was basically a transmission where cable was content. Well, as it was transitioning, they still had the annual CATV shows, which then became the cable shows. And as these networks cropped up, like you were alluding to earlier, the big incentive was that they would pay the local systems. They pay in some matter, all of them. And I still have buttons that say SIN pays. And what they meant, of course, is Spanish International Network. But I mean, even they
yes.
were paying the CATV operators to take us. So yes,
wow.
They all. But but I will say, I don't remember. I think it was QVC, because QVC, which cubic zirconia brand did they have? What was theirs?
Diamondique.
Okay. And what
still
was
have it? Still
what
have
was HSN's? Something else.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe Diamond
Shop,
L. I don't
Shop
know.
Shop at Home was Bella Luce. Bella Luce was Shop at Home,
okay.
And now that's the Jewelry Network has that.
Right.
But I forget what HSN, I don't know if they did a lot of fake diamonds, but they had a proprietary gold plating. I forget what that was called, but it was a proprietary gold plating, and it was not great. It used to, a lot of them came back from what I understand.
Right.
They eventually stopped selling it because it just wasn't durable,
right,
to do it. But they sold cubic zirconia, but I don't know that they had a proprietary.
Well, they had.
I'm not sure.
They had something, because I remember at one of these shows they had a big gumball machine, and instead of getting gumballs, you got these pendants that were like a diamond cubic zirconium pendant in their fake gold, like you say. And you know, I got to tell you, I took one. I still have it. I wish I took 20, because these damn things looked great, and I think they were called Diamondelle. As I remember.
Yes.
Diamondelle.
Yes, Diamondelle.
And
Diamondelle.
And
yes.
This thing looks so real. And I thought they were just handing them out in these gumball machines at the convention. And
wow.
You know, I thought to myself, hey, if I knew it looked this good, I might have bought one. But it was Diamondelle, and I don't know if they still sell them, but yeah, I can't believe we've gone through a whole show already. It's always too short a time. So what's on tap in 2023 for Steve Bryant?
Well, I'm going to keep, when the news keeps cheesing me off, I will keep writing things about it. I don't know what or where that would ever go.
You won't run out of topics.
Oh, that's for darn sure. That's for darn sure. But I'm going to keep writing songs, and I don't know about pitching in Nashville anymore. I may, at age 72, I honestly may just hang it up and just say, I've kicked that door and kicked that door and kicked that door, and nobody's even coming near it. So I thought, and God bless SiriusXM, because
yeah.
I was beginning to think I stunk.
No,
I stink, and all of a sudden, we want that one. What else? For them to come to me, what else you got? Okay, well, we want that. Yeah, that's good. We like that one. And I'm thinking, hold on.
Maybe I'm not that bad after all. Yeah, actually,
yeah, I'm okay.
Sadly, there are so many people in Nashville who have had the same experience. So in some ways, you're in better company than you could ever realize. Well, I hope if you hang it up, and of course, retirement is the status symbol of our lifetime. But I hope you'll continue to do these parodies, because the news will continue to give you plenty of fodder. And I hope to be able to play them. So, Steve, can we do it again next year?
Well, absolutely, Raleigh. I can't thank you enough. This, I mean, the calendar didn't cooperate at all this year, but I think this is a wonderful way to go out. I want to wish you and John the happiest and healthiest of New Year's, and that to your listeners as well. And it does me good to hear your show every night, because you're listening. You're humble, and this is going to bother you, but I don't care. Your listeners love you, and I think that's terrific. That's the mark of a true professional. You reach them every night on some level, on a level that's right for them, and I think that's perfect. So wishing you all the best.
Oh, you too, Steve. We'll talk to you next year.
You got it.
Okay, and I'll talk to you next year, too, which means next week, actually, on Monday Night Trivia. There's a replay of it tomorrow night. We thank Dan for keeping us on the air. Couldn't do it without him. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, those of you who called, and most of all, to Steve Bryant for keeping me company. I'm Raleigh James. Until Monday, that's a wrap on WGN Radio.